Today, Sedra, we have the story about Yaakov Avinu fighting with the Malach. In the Parsha, it doesn't really say it was a Malach, but in the Navi, it says like that. And the Torah tells us that because of this, because of the fact that the Malach succeeded in breaking his leg, we're not permitted to eat Kiran Asher Ara Yom Azeh. The Gemara divide, the Mishnayis divide all of the animals into three categories. You have Behema, Chayo, and Oph. And some of the dinim only apply to one, and some of the dinim only apply to the other. Moshe, this din of Giran Asher, the Mishnah says, only applies to Behema V'chaya, and doesn't apply. Today, Sedra, we have the story about Yaakov Avinu fighting with the Malach. In the Parsha, it doesn't really say it was a Malach, but in the Navi, it says like that. And the Torah tells us that because of this, because of the fact that the Malach succeeded in breaking his leg, we're not permitted to eat Giran Asher Ara Yom Azeh. The Gemara divide, the Mishnayis divide all of the animals into three categories. You have Behema, Chayo, and Oph. And some of the dinim only apply to one, and some of the dinim only apply to the other. Moshe, this din of Giran Asher, the Mishnah says, only applies to Behema, the Chayo, and doesn't apply to Oph. And the Mishnah says in Perek Giran Asher, there's a whole Perek in the end of Chulam, Perek Giran Asher. The Mishnah says the reason why, because Mishnah ain't no kaf. And the Chumash says Giran Asher only applies, Asher al kaf. Vayigo b'kaf Yerach Yaakov, how does it say? Asher al kaf hayorech. Says you're not allowed to eat the Giran Asher. Asher al kaf hayorech. So the Mishnah says that the oath doesn't have a kaf. So therefore, there's no prohibition. The Gemara says, what do you mean it doesn't have a kaf? It does have a kaf. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't. It has a kaf, but it's not ogul. The eat Giran Asher only applies if the git goes over the kaf. When one bone goes into the if you have a pulk of a chicken, so you have a skinny bone, then on top it gets round, like a mushroom, and then that's sits into a socket of the other bone. So the oaf also has a bone like that, but it's not round on the top. It's not oval. That's what the Gemara explains. Then the Gemara has a sofek, and he buy the lay of shita. What would the din be if you have an oaf which had an abnormal development, and it does have a kaf ogul with the din of Giran Asher apply? What if you have a behemah v'chai that had an abnormal development, and it does and it has a kaf which is not ogul? Once in a while you have an abnormal growth. You have a behemoth v'chai that's not ogul. Does it actually depend on each and every individual animal whether the kaf is ogul or not ogul? Because the chumash is asher al kaf ayorech, and the kaf only means a kaf which is ogul, when the bone on top is ogul. Or should I say no? It depends on the min. Since by behemoth v'chai usually it is ogul, and by oaf usually it's not ogul. 95% of oifus are not ogul. 95% or more of behemoth v'chai are ogul, so it depends on the min. Depends on the min behemah v'chaya, and depends on the minat. So that's an ibayz alayf shita migimon. You learn some more gemara there in Perik, and Perik, hey, Giran Asher, very long the Perik. Giran Asher, very cheerful Perik, and cool. You learn some more there, so it seems from the gemara takes it for, here it's an ibayz alayf shita. On another daf, the gemara assumes with Dala Pashu that it depends on the min. It depends on the min of behemah v'chaya versus the min of oaf. You have other dinim, mashal, kisui hadam only applies to, Isi Hadam only applies to Chayav Yof and doesn't apply to Dehena. Or Chelev only applies to Dehena, does not apply to Chayav and does not apply to Ov. Chelev Chayav is Mutter, Chelev Oif is Mutter. Also there's Beno. Also there's Beno only applies to Dehena, doesn't apply to Chayav Yof. The Gemara has a lot of dinim that depend on Dehena Chayav Yof. The Gemara says that the Isur of Giran Asher only applies to the actual Gid itself. The Shuman Agid is a Machlekes Atanaim. We darshan S Hatofel Psara. Lo Yochel S Psara S Hatofel Psara. So here it says, Akev Lemech Lo Yochel Menisol S Giran Asher. What is the word S? Marbe. So some Tanaim in the Gemara say the word S is Marbe. The Shuman Agid. Not only the Gid itself is also, even the Shuman Agid is also us. And we paskin that that's not so. We pass him that the Shumer Agid is Mutam and Atayre, and it's only Asim in the Rabbanon. But the Lashon HaGemara is a little strange. The Gemara doesn't say that it's Asim in the Rabbanon. The Gemara says it's Mutam and Atayre, Bisol Kedoshim Nohavu Bo Issa. Very rare expression. I don't know if it appears anywhere else in Shas. The Braises, the Lashon HaBraises, is Bisol Kedoshim, the holy Jewish people. The Jewish people are holy. Nohavu Bo Issa. So the Prima Godin and others before him assume that the Prima Godin is on Yerideya and others on the Rambam assume that it's only Yosem Itam Minig. Minig means that it's even less than an Issa Derabban. You have an Issa Deraisa, you have an Issa Derabban, then you have an Issa Mita Minig. And it's interesting, in the Gemara there's a Machloikas HaTanayim, whether Shuman Agid is Osir or not. So if it's the way we assume, the way the Pimigodim assumes that it's only Osir Mita Minig, so what's the Machloikas? Is there such a Minig, is there not such a Minig? The Tana says that there is a Minig to Asay Shuman Agid. So how come the other Tana says that it's Mutter? So the Pashtus and the Gemara, you see, that just like we have a klala, called the tikkun rabbanon, kein deraisa tikkun. When you make a din derabbanon, it has to be patterned after some din deraisa or another. So the same is true regarding a minig. You can't just have a minig to stand on your head every Thursday morning between 10:30 and a quarter to 11. If Thursday morning we learn chumash instead of learning gemara, and you want your blood circulation to be better, and so then you have a minig to prepare for the shiur and chumash or something. So you stand on your head, whatever. But stop a minute to stand on your head Thursday morning. It doesn't make any sense at all. So even if you have strictly observed this minute for the last 55 years, that's not binding. A minute is only binding if it's a psakein deraisa, kein derabbanon. It's a kiyum of something. Stam, ceremony. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Ah, he used to say, our religion doesn't have any ceremony. That's by the Christians. That's by the other religions they have. Our religion doesn't have ceremonies. Minhagim? No, that's a different thing. A minig is a kiyum of some kind. If you look in Yeridei, that's why he spent so much time explaining all the minhagim. In Yeridei, you have a lot of minhagim also, not just in Arachayim, by Tzitzis, and Tfilin, and Baruch Shama, and Krishma. You have minhagim in Yeridei. So in Yeridei, the Vilna Gaon will, in Ebenezer, you have minhagim. So the Bir Agro will always explain what the minig is based on. It's based on a Tziruv Hashita over here, and a Shatana, and a Rishon, and a Taisus, and a Girisa. You want to be Yotze this Shita, and that Shita, your Mitzarev Shita. We don't really pass them like that. But it's an order, the Yeser says, in order to be Yotze, some kind of the Shita that we don't hold from. Or it's an extension of a certain din deraisa, an extension of a din derabbanan, some kind of a kiyum. So the same is true in Aruch Haim also. All of the minhagim are based on kein deraisa minig. Called the tikkun rabbanan, kein deraisa tikkun. So all the minhagim have to be kein derabbanan, have to be an extension of something or another. A minig that's unrelated to a din, that's what the Achrayim call, that's what the Rishonim call, a minig toys, a minig shtus. A minig shtus, just a minig in the middle of nowhere, just a minig to stand on your head for 15 minutes once a week, unless the doctor says it's very healthy, okay? So you do it for health purposes. So the doctor says you can either run around the block 25 times in a week, or you can stand on your head for 15 minutes in a week, or you can drink schnapps every morning after breakfast, or you can, it gives you a choice of 25 things that's good for your health. The minig is angusir that you stand on your head every Thursday morning between 10:30 and 11:00. Okay, so that's the minig. So that's for the purpose of an ishmat and the other nafsh sechem. Then, in addition to that, if you want to go jogging, you want to drink the schnapps and the orange juice and the vitamin pills, also you can do whatever you want. But the minig is that we do this for the sake of fulfillment of the din of an ishmat and the other nafsh sechem. So that would also be a good minig. But a minig that's not based on any good din is nishke minig. So that seems to be the machlokes hatanoim here also. You have. We assume that Shuman Agid is Mutam and Atera, Mutam and Rabban. We saw Kedoshim Nogobo Issa, the Jewish people instituted Minig not to eat it, and the Tanaim had a Machlekes, whether the Minig is binding or not. So half of the Tanaim said that Dvar B'Telem and Mubatom, it's a Minig Shtus. A Minig Shtus is meaningless, not binding. And the others held no. They're just like you have Xerah de Rabban, you're not allowed to do this or do that. You're not allowed to eat chicken with milk because of Basa B'Chola. You're not allowed to have, basically, not allowed to carry a Kamalus or do carrying a Shusa Rab. So here also, this minig, the Chachamim never asked it, but this minig makes sense. The minig is to ask the Shuman Agid, or to the Gid itself. That's how we pass the Shuman Agid is also mitam minig. Tosis has an interesting machlekes. Can the Shuman Agid be more chomer than the Gid itself? There is a machlekes atanayim. What happens if, by mistake, it's the responsibility of the butcher to remove the Gid anasha? That's in Yiddish, that's called trebrin. To remove the chelev that you're not allowed to eat, and to remove the dam, to remove the, not all the blood comes out when you salt it. If you have blood vessels, and there's blood in the blood vessel, so that blood is not going to come out. When you salt, the blood in the capillaries is going to come out, but not the blood in the vessel, in the arteries. The blood in the arteries is going to come out. Let's say you have the heart. The heart is full of blood. You're going to put a little salt on the heart. It's not going to get the blood out. You have a bottle of blood. You have a bottle of blood there, and you salt it, so there's going to be blood with salt in it. It's still going to be awesome. If you have meat, that just has blood in the damayivarim, blood in the capillaries. So if you salt that, so the Gemara says, whatever blood will come out in the first 18 minutes is blood, and whatever remains after that, we declare as juice. It's the juice, it's also blood. They say, no, that doesn't have the Yisra of blood, that's called juice of the meat, that's mutter. So the Gemara says that the butcher has to remove certain arteries before he salts the meat. He has to remove the gid anashi, he has to remove the shuman agid, and he has to remove the chelev. What happens if the butcher didn't remove the gid anashi and he salted the whole piece of meat and then later on he removed the gid anashi? Should I say that since he let's say if he doesn't salt the chelev, if he doesn't remove the chelev and he salts the flesh before removing the chelev, then even if he removes the chelev later, you're going to have a problem. Because the salting is going to cause the chelev to be nivla, it's going to give an asinas tam into the flesh. So just by the flavor of the shuman, the flavor of the chelev is not going to come out. Blood comes out by salting. But chelev, the bli of chelev doesn't come out when you salt flesh. Adrabah, when you salt a big yerech, if you have the whole thigh of the animal with the gid anasha in it, and you salt it, so the salting will make the flesh straight. The flesh that's immediately surrounding the chelev. The chelev will be nivla into the flesh. So what about the gid anasha? Will the gid anasha be nivla into the flesh or not? Why not? So the Tanaim had a big machlokes, whether yesh begidin b'nois and tam or ain begidin b'nois and tam. What does it mean? Gid anasha apparently doesn't have that much of a flavor. Shvachatam. So when you cook gid anasha with other meat, and you cook gid anasha with vegetables, or you salt gid anasha with the yerech, you didn't remove it and you salted it, so a little bit of flavor apparently does have, but it's not so edible. It doesn't give so much of a tam. So that's a machlokes ha-tanaim. To what extent, how far do you go when the halacha says that tam kiker? Not only are you not allowed to eat chazer, not only not allowed to eat nevela, you're not even allowed to eat the tam of the nevela, because that's a din of tam kiker. So how much of a tam, how serious of a tam does it have to be in order that it should ask? So we pass in halacha that ain't begidin minos in tam, that the faint, vague tam that comes from the gid anasha is not enough to ask him. The other tana holds, no, the yesh begin the nice and tam. The tam, they both agree what the tam of gid anasha is. It's a very shvacha tam. So we pass in aloha that's not enough to declare that the din of tam tiyika should apply. So again, so if you cook the yerech, you cook the thigh of the animal with the gid anasha in it, you cooked it or you salted it, so the flavor of the gid anasha will not asa the rest of the behemoth based on the principle of tam kiyika. The gid anasha is asa. You have to remove it. But the tam doesn't asa the rest. So the Tosis has two opinions. What about the shuman agid? Shuman agid is real fatty stuff. It tastes good. It tastes like all shuman in the animal. If you're on a diet, or you're worried about cholesterol, so you don't eat it. But it's a tasty stuff, like any other fatty part of the animal. So the question is, shuman agid should asa? Maybe I should say, one opinion of Tesis is that since Shushumar Agir is only Yasa Mitam Minik Otu, the Gid itself, and the Gid itself does not Asa Minasinas Tam, because they ain't Gid Minasin Tam, maybe I should say that it doesn't make sense, maybe that's already Minik Shtus, it doesn't make sense to Asa to say that Tam Ki Iker of the Shushumar Agir should Asa, that it should be more common than the Gid itself. Shushumar Agir is Yasa Mitam Otu Gid, and Gid Anah should be passing in the Gid Minasin Tam, so how can you say the Shushumar Agir should Asa the Taimai, that it should be more common than the gid? It's not a bad svara, but we don't pass them like that halacha l'maisa. We pass them like the other. 2 days in Tesis, how to read a Mishnah. How to read a Mishnah. Mishnah doesn't say one way or the other. So we pass them halacha l'chumra. That it does ask. Shimon HaGid does ask. A couple of years ago, we had the Shaila in the OU office. Why? It was Nagel halacha. Because that the OU one Feb, I think their Thanksgiving weekend, they wanted to use the same kelim as some other group that was going to use right before them, and they're going to have to kasher everything. The shadows, the other group is going to use it for treifas, so they had to kasher everything the same day. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to kasher kelim when they're ben yom. You have to wait for the Zayna ben yom. So how can they wait? They were going to have a Thanksgiving morning, whatever. A trefa Thanksgiving dinner in the afternoon, and the OU was going to have their Thanksgiving night within 24 hours. So the suggestion was made that the other people should have kosher flesh. Let the other function use kosher flesh. What's so bad? They're not going to die just because of kosher flesh. The only thing is that when you have big pieces of meat, so the Jewish butchers always chop everything up that looks awful. They cut out the chelem, and they cut out the gid anasha, and they cut out the dam and everything. So over here the shayla was, they'll have to cut out the chelem and the dam. What about the gid anasha? Well, they have to cut out the gid anasha on that. So the Giron Asher itself doesn't tasa. The tam of the Giron Asher doesn't tasa. We're not going to eat the leftover flesh that they're going to have. But the shayla was the shuman of the gid asa. That's how we pass from halacha. The shuman of the gid does us. Even though it's not a bad svara, but we pass from halacha that it does us. There is a din in carbon pesach that you're supposed to broil the carbon pesach. You're not supposed to slice the carbon pesach before you broil it. You're supposed to do it rosh al krov al kirboi. The Rambam writes the whole behem of the shleimusim. So the Ravid is masig on the Rambam in Hilchas Karban Pesach. He says, what are you talking about? How can you do it all together? You have to remove the Gid Anosha and you have to remove the Shuman Agid. Otherwise it's going to ask it. The Gid Anosha doesn't ask the Karban Pesach, but you're not allowed to eat it. And the Shuman Agid will ask the Karban Pesach. So the Kesa Mishnah says on the side of the Rambam there, you broil the carbon pesach, the sholem, rosh al krov al kirbi, you broil the sholem. You're not supposed to slice it and then broil it. So you broil the sholem. I, the Gid Anosha, is awesome. So afterwards, after you do the broiling, then when you're about to serve it, then you'll slice it, you cut it up, and you remove the Gid Anosha later. Normally, you should always remove the Gid Anosha before you do the broiling. But by carbon pesach, the Rambam quotes from the Chumash that it's a special thing. You're supposed to broil it again. See, leaving the Gid Anosha, it's not going to answer anyway. What's with the Shuman Agid? The Rambam seems to hold also the halacha like that opinion in Taisus, like the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that the Shuman Agid does asa. So the Kesef Mishnah comes up with an einfal that since Shuman Agid is only asa mitam minig, Yisrael Kedoshim Nogabom Iser, so v'mokam Karban Pesach, v'mokam mitzvahs Karban Pesach, you don't have to observe that minig. Whenever a minig is in conflict with the din, so you observe the din and you forego on the minig.
What about the chayla?
Now the chelav, you have no choice. The chelav, you makriv on the mizbech. That you don't. Any chelav that we're not allowed to eat is burned on the mizbech. So that you have to cut out and burn on the mizbech. But what's left behind, that you don't burn on the mizbech, that you're supposed to broil all together. So the Gid Anosha doesn't bother us because the taka doesn't ask us. So when you're about to serve it to all the bnei hachabura, so then you're going to slice, you're going to cut it up into pieces, so then you remove the Gid Anosha. But what's going to be with the Shuman Agid? The Shuman Agid is going to ask for everything, it'll all be trade. It'll have a bliya from Shuman Agid. So the Kes Mishnah says on the Rambam, Shuman Agid is only a minik like that Prima Gordon says. The Kes Mishnah said it before him. Shuman Agid, the Prima Gordon quotes the Kes Mishnah. Shuman Agid is only the Gemara's Lashon, he saw Kedosh and Noga, but he said it's only a minik. But since it's only a minik, and here it's in contradiction with the Ike Mitzvah of Tzlias Karban Pesach, he's supposed to broil it together. So we choose to fulfill the mitzvah and ignore the minig. This Kesef Mishnah was sort of discovered. Kesef Mishnah is on a Rambam. The Rambam, right? It's Kesef Mishnah. Everybody knows that. This Kesef Mishnah, Rav Gusman, made a big fuss about this in his Sefer on Kiddushin. He has a Shaila, Alacha Lamaisa, what's the din? There is halacha that a woman always has to wait Shiva Nikiyim. If a woman is a Zava, she has to wait Shiva Nikiyim before she goes to the mikvah. But most of the women are not Zavas, most of the women are Nidas. So the Gemara says that we have the Minig. We have a Minig that the women always require Shiva Nikiyim. Even though Mikra Din, most of the time she's only going to be a Nidas, she's not going to be a Zava. That's the Minig. So in Yerideya, there's a Machloikas. The Ramban and the Ravid, Halacha Lamaisin, Hilchas Nida, the Lashon of Rav Zera, Bnei Yisrael Hachmiru Al Atzma, sounds like it started off as a minig. That's the way it remained. It's a minig. The whole tokef, the whole strength of the din is only a minig, that the women always need Shevinikim. It doesn't mean that it originated as a minig, but in later generations, the Tanoim approved of the minig, and when they gave it their stamp of approval, so they converted it into a din de Rabban. That's a Rashi Menachos like that. Rashi Menachos writes like that. So in Yeridei, they didn't have that Rashi Menachos. We have, the Vilna Shas printed two Rashis on Menachos, one on top of the page, one on the bottom of the page, two different manuscripts. We have that Rashi Menachos on the bottom of the page in the Vilna Shas. Before then, they didn't have it. So in Yeridei, they quote, the Mishnah Melech quotes this, Machlokes, the Ramban and the Ravid, whether the requirement for Shiva Nikiyim by all the women is only a minig, it's only a pchina of a minik, or the zman hazeh, it's more than a minik, it's already a din de rabban, it's mocham. So in Yeridei we pass when it's only a minik. There's an afkamin, if it's clear by some, we pass when Allah, it's only a minik. So Rav Gusman has a in the end of his sefer Tilfulim on Kiddushin, he has sort of a birur halacha l'maisa. So he quotes this case of Mishnah that whenever one has a conflict between an observance of a minig and a real din, so then the din takes precedence over the minig. So he says over here also, what if the doctors can ascertain that a woman is married and the reason why she's unable to have children is because she always waits Shiva Nikim? If she would be able to be total in the mikveh earlier, then she would probably be able to conceive. So would you allow the woman, and he can't change anything, he can't budge. Sometimes he can take pills and change the cycle, sometimes he can't. So what if the doctors ascertain that that's exactly the problem? Would you allow the woman to violate the minig, that we assume is only a minig, of always requiring Shiva Nikim? Sometimes Shiva Nikim is a din deraisa, that for sure you're not matter. Sometimes Shiva Nikim is a din derabana, the Gemara has. Sometimes Rebbe made a takana, hiskin Rebbe besodis. The Gemara in the end of Nida, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, of course, that Rebbe made a takana, that sometimes we treat the women as toos, and sometimes they require Shiva Nikim. So that's often a takana derabana. Once in a while, it's not even a takana de rabbanon, it's only b'nai sisra lachnir al atzmon, which is a machlekes, and we pass when it's only a minig. So Rav Gusman says, in those rare instances, and in those some of the cases where it's only a minig, and it comes in conflict with their fulfillment of the mitzvah piriviriv, the woman just can't conceive. So then he thinks, based on this case of Mishnah, the case of Mishnah in Hilchos Kor Pesach, that allows the woman to violate the minig in order to fulfill the mitzvah. The end of the Sefer HaKiddushin. Everybody knows that. The rest of the Sefer HaKiddushin, people don't know.
As it has.
And question whether women are mechuyev in the mitzvah of Sheves or not. Women are not mechuyev in Pirei Rivia, they're mechuyev in the mitzvah of Sheves. But look, the man is married to this woman. So,
is that?
Right. Right. So we assume that they're both permitted to. He assumes they're both permitted to violate the minig in order to enable the husband to fulfill his mitzvah. The Netziv interprets Agmar in his Shuvas, Meshav Zavi, he interprets Agmar in the beginning of Brachas like that. Agmar has a lashon, Harag Alava, the Beis HaKnesses, that the man is in the practice of coming to the minyan every day, based to the 7 o'clock minyan, and then one day he doesn't show up, so the Agmar has a pasuk. And Navi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoyel all of that. Baruch Shalom asks, where is he? What do you mean Baruch Shalom is asking? It means since he's in the habit of davening Tefillah B'Tzibur, many Poskim say that Tefillah B'Tzibur is not really a chayva. You're not really mechuyev to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur. It's just if you want your prayers to be answered. Tefillah is a chayva. But if you want your prayers to be answered, so you stand a better chance of having them answered if you daven Tefillah B'Tzibur than if you daven Tefillah B'Yachid. What happens? So it's not a chayva. But if a person taka always davens in a minyan, then it becomes a minig. It's binding mita minig. So that's what the Gemara says, harogil, so a person is rogil to daven tefillah b'tzibur all the time. So then if one day he's going to miss, the Ribbono Shel Olam will be makpid on him, because a minig is a minig becomes binding. But the Gemara says, but what happens if he had to violate tefillah b'tzibur, he had to daven yechidus because he went with bar mitzvah? Then the Gemara says, oh, then it's okay. So why is that what the bar mitzvah is okay? So he says, that's what it means. When a mitzvah comes in conflict with a minig, Haragil is power b'chol yom b'beis haknesses, that haragil is power makes it into a minig toiv. Minig toiv is not a real chiyuv. So if it's in conflict with the bar mitzvah, so then he's not obligated to observe the minig. The Gemara has the machlekes we just mentioned, machlekes atanoim, if the gid anosh was cooked together with the yerek, or the gid anosh you salted the yerek with the gid anosh in it. So melicha usually causes a tam to flow from the treifas to the kosher. Or bishul will normally cause a tam to extend from the treifas food to the kosher food. What's over here? Would you say that yesh begid the menaisen tam or ain begid the menaisen tam? So we pass an ain begid. Not enough tam that it should ask. What if it's not a question of the tam? What if I can't identify which is the gid anosha? Let's say I have a whole bunch of gidin. Somebody removed, the butcher removed the gid anosha, then removed the other gidin that are muta. They're a gidin that are mutter in the body, they're a shasa gidin. They're a mach evam, they're a shasa gidin. One of the gidin is the gid anosha. So let's say in a human body they're a shasa gidin. So behema, I don't know, maybe they're more, maybe they're less. But let's say you have 20 gidin. One of them I know is a gid anosha, and the other 19 I'm not gid anosha. The other 19 I'm mutter. Should I say that it should be bottled b'roif, chad b'trei? Yavish b'yavish, chad b'trei should be bottled b'roif? Or not? So the Mishnah says in Chulin that it's not bottled b'roif. The Gemara asks, why not? Will he bottle beruba? For what good reason is it not bottle beruba? So the Gemara says, on daf kuf amen aleph, because it's a barrier. Gid anosha is a barrier. And there's a chumra midrabbanan that a barrier is not bottle. It's the top gemara, the top line on Kufam and Aleph, and the top thesis, that barrier shining. Whenever something is a barrier, it's not bottle. The din of barrier we had in Shavuos, then you get to another din. You only chayv malchus on macholas asuris if you eat a kezayis. But if the thing that you eat is a barrier, then you chayv malchus even less than a kezayis. Let's say a bug. They sell in the store crushed bugs, crushed ants. So if you eat a kezayis of the crushed ants, then you get malchus. But if you eat a full ant, a full bug that has less than a kezayis, but it's bishlei musa, it's a davar shalom, a full cockroach. So the Gemara says if you eat it, bishlei musa, then you like it even though it has less than a kezayis. But if it's all crushed, so then you only like it if it has a kezayis. So the Gemara has the same by Gidon Asher, in Perek Gidon Asher. It says, let's say you have an animal that has a big fat Gidon Asher. How much of the Gidon Asher do you have to eat in order to get malchus? Gemara says, eat a kezayis mimenu, you like it. Let's say you can cut it into three pieces and give a kezayis to each of three people, and each one of us will get malchus. Each one ate a kezayis of the Gidon Asher. What if you have a skinny little animal that the Gidon Asher is so tiny, the whole Gidon Asher is less than a kezayis? So the Gemara says, if you eat the whole Gidon Asher, dishlei musa, so then you'll also be like it. You can either eat it the davar shalom and it'll be called a barrier, or if it's chopped up, or if it's crushed, if you eat a kezayis of it, then you'll also be like it. The same is by the bugs. If you eat crushed bugs or kezayis, you like it. If you eat a davar shalom, you're also like it. That's the din. So the din of barrier applies both. Number one, a barrier, if it's a davar shalom, you don't need a kezayis. And number two, a barrier has a hashivas and it's not bottle. What if the Gidon Asher is crushed up? What if it's crushed up? So then it no longer has the status of a barrier. It's only considered a barrier when it's bishlei musa. The Gemara's lashon in the end of Marcus is, if it's a barrier by the bug, if it's chai, if it's mace not. So Tosis commented on that Gemara. Chai does mean that the bug is alive as opposed to a dead bug. Chai means that it's a davar shalom as opposed to being crushed. So the same over here. If you have a Gidon Asher, which is a davar shalom, but was not crushed, then it's not going to be bottled even in 100 other, even afilu be'elof lay bottled. Tosis points out, barrier chashiva v'labitein afilu be'elof. But if the Gidon Asher, let's say, is crushed, so then it will be bottled. So how much do you need to be mevatel it? If I cooked the yerech with the Gidon Asher, if I salted the yerech with the Gidon Asher, so I say, ain't the Gidon Menesin time, it doesn't give in the Sinas time. So let the butcher come now, or let the balabaster come now, and remove the Gidon Asher, so she knows this is it, this is Asher, and the rest of the flesh will be mutan. But let's say the Gidon Asher was crushed, I made chopped meat, and the Gidon Asher gets mixed in. So you can say, what does it help to say, ain't the Gidon Menesin time, it's not Menesin time, but the end of the Gidon Asher is still there. So how much do you need? And it's not a barrier because it's not bishlei musa. So how much do you need to be mevatele? How much do you need to be mevatele? That's called lach balach. That's not yavish biyavish. It's not yavish biyavish. Is I have three gidden. One is treif and two are kosher. So the din should have been that it should be bottled b'roid chad b'treif. Yavish biyavish bottled chad b'treif b'roid. And it's not so, because it's a barrier. So I feel a barrel of like bottle. What if it's all crushed together? So then I'll be pashtus. So the din should require shishim. Like any other lach balach, he should need shishim. So there's one tshuvas hagoinim that nobody paskens like halacha l'maisa. It's just a collector's item. And in Encyclopedia Talmudit on the Gidon Asher, they quote that there is a tshuvas hagoinim that was printed in this century that says that you need masayim. Ma pitol masayim? Where did it come from? Mamash from thin air. Where did masayim come from? So in the footnotes in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, the one who wrote that Erech gives his suggestion. Why? Interesting. Where does Masayim come from? So he says there is a machleikah satanayim and tzachim and ulan, of course, Gidon Asher, but the Gidon Asher is also banor or muta banor. So we pass in muta banor. The Raman pass in muta banor. But Reb Shimon, Bar Yochai, Reb Shimon in the Mishnah holds that Gidon Asher is also banor. The Beis Yosef says it's nochem lochesh lahachmer to shitas Reb Shimon because the Zohar also says that it's also banor. Should be machmer for the Zohar. So the Bach has the hasog against the Beis Yosef. The Zohar is written by Reb Shimon. What did he discover on the Shimon? That's Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon in the Zohar. Makes it more. The same one opinion, Reb Shimon, he was outvoted in the Gemara, so his opinion in the Zohar was also outvoted. This is Shver Rambam. The Rambam should have passed him that it should have been also Banu, but the Rambam passed him as Mutta Banu. So the Ramban has a Chuvas Ramban, because Mishnah quotes, there's a Chuvas Ramban about the Shver Rambam. So because the Rambam should have passed him that it's also Banu, so that's why the Beis Yosef says you should be Machin, whatever. But we pass him Mutta Banu. We pass him Mutta Banu. What's the difference by the Gidon Asher, Mutta Banor, Asa Banor? The Mishnah has a difference. Let's say I shecht a big animal, and I have a big yerech, I have a big thigh of the animal that has the Gidon Asher in it, and I want to give it to a goy, I want to sell it to the goy. So if I'm going to butcher the thing up and remove the Gidon Asher, it's not going to cost more money. I'm not going to charge the guy more money because it has a Gid Anasha in it. The guy's also going to throw the Gid Anasha out. So when I charge money for a big piece of meat, I'm not making more if it has, I'm going to sell it to a guy with the Gid Anasha. So I'm not going to make more money because of the fact that it has the Gid Anasha. The guy's also going to throw it out. But I'm going to make more money because of the fact that it's a Yerach Shomai. Because the guy wants to broil the whole thigh altogether. Doesn't want to have a butchered up half of an animal. So that's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. Am I permitted to sell a Yerach Shalem to the guy because he's going to pay me more money, not because it has Gid Anasha, but because it's a Dover Shalem? That's considered getting Hanah from the Gid Anasha. So we pass in Mutta, Shaleach Adam Yerach HaNachri, that there's no Iser of Hanah. And Rav Shimon holds that it's also Hanah, you're not allowed to get Hanah. That's the machlokes hatanaim. So there is a din in the Gemara, Mishnayis, that although in our Torah, truma is the same as anything else, but with the Rabbanim, we require meya in order for truma to be bottled. And the Gemara has a whole, the Sifrei has a whole asmachta and a pasuk, and at the end of Parshas Korach, et parimchem es migdusho mimenu, nachem besochem bekatsho. If the truma falls back in, it'll laser everything v'achila, because you have the maisa min ha-maisa falls back in, it'll laser because you only have 99 units to one. But if you would have had 100 units to one, then it would have been mutter, it would have been buckled in mayo. And then the Sifrei says, truma is only also b'achila, mutter b'ano. But orba klakar, which is also both b'achila and b'ano, so me'achash ha-kofal isuro, since it has a double prohibition, so kofal bituloi. Since it's twice as chomer as truma is only also b'achila, mutter b'ano. Orba klakar, is also b'achila b'ano. So that's why kafal aliyasa. You need a kafal, you need a sheer kafal, a double sheer, you need masai. So that's what the one who wrote, I don't know who, the one who wrote this section in his Sakapit Talmudit on the Gid Anasha suggests in the footnote such an ayinfah. Maybe these chuvasagrim holes, like the Beis Yosef, like those Tanoim, the Gid Anasha is also b'ano. If it's also b'ano, so then he holds, like the din in the Mishnah, that Orlan Klai Karen, since it's also b'ano, so you need Masayim to be Mevatla. It's not bottled the Shishim, it's bottled the Masayim. There is such an opinion in Rishonim regarding Chametz. We pass on Chametz in the Mashil. The place is close, there was another Girs in the Gemara, in Pesachim Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Rabbi Natan, and the Shiltas, the Chametz is not Mashil. Chametz is the same as everything else. Same as everything else means what? Shishim? It should be bottled the Shishim. So the Ra'or in the Sefer Berek HaBayis writes, no, the Chametz is not the Mashil, but it's the Masayim. Chametz the Masayim. Where does Masayim come in? So the answer is, that's what? It's the same as Arba and Klei Akeret. That whatever is Asa Ba'ano, I should say the Kalvach, I should say the Cheshvan from Truma. Truma is only Asa Ba'achila and Muta Ba'ano. You need Meir. So whatever is Asa Ba'ano, it's Kofal Isura, Kofal Ali Asa. You need a double Shia to be Mevatel. Anyway, we don't pass them like that. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass them like that. Number one, that Gid Anasha is Muta Ba'ano. So the main, the whole thing is not mutabano. So you need a shishin. Nobody passed from Shulchan Aruch. You need masan. So there is such an opinion. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Perek Gid Anasha has a bit of an essay. Usually the Rambam has brief comments in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and here he has a long essay. He says that the fact that we today observe mitzvahs is because the mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. That's the last pasuk in Chumash Vayikra and the last pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, quoted by the Gemara, the first daf in the Gilad. The Gemara says, "Eila haMitzvos Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe B'Har Sinai." The last pasuk in Vayikra, the last pasuk in Bamidbar reads approximately the same. So the Maharsho is not sure which pasuk the Gemara is quoting. One of those two pasukim, either pasuk, will do the trick. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk, "Eila haMitzvos Mikan." From this pasuk we derive. A Navi can only tell a Hayru Ashur. A Navi cannot give a mitzvah which is Nahegus Ladaris. The mitzvahs that are Nahegus Ladaris were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam stresses this in his essay in Perek Gid Anasha. In the commentary to Mishnayos, he says that the fact that some of us participated in the Bris Milah this morning, the fact that we continue to observe Bris Milah today is not because the Tzibui was given to Avraham Avinu. And the fact that we still continue to observe the din of Gid Anasha today is not because the mitzvah was given to Yankov Avinu, but rather because it was repeated again to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, And that's why it has the status of a mitzvah. Eila mitzvah sashet tziva Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai. Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu were also just Nevi'im. Just like the Nevi'im after Moshe Rabbeinu, they were Nevi'im before. Before and after Moshe Rabbeinu, no Navi was ever given a mitzvah in the sense of Noheges L'doris. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi, that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevi'im. The Rambam has in the Yud Gimel Ikorei Emunah two different Ikorim. One Ikor, when you say to the Emunah, we believe in the Vuit. That God can communicate to people, and He does communicate to people on occasion. And another you say to the Emunah is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im. What's so significant about Moshe Rabbeinu being the Adon HaNevi'im? So it doesn't mean that if another prophet will come to contradict something that Moshe Rabbeinu said, so we will not listen to the other prophet. Yoshki came and he said that all the dinim in the Torah negated a prophecy that there is not knowing anymore. Muhammad claimed to be a prophet, whatever, he says that the laws of the Torah no longer apply. That's what the Rambam means to say. Yeah. That, but more also, and the Rambam spells it out in his commentary in Perikin Anasha to the Pirush HaMishnah. He says what that principle means that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im. What it means is that mitzvahs were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. No other Navi, not before Moshe Rabbeinu, not after, was given a mitzvah. Mitzvah means a din which is Noeg L'doris. They were given Hayrasha, a divine food, but they were never given Torah mitzvahs. That's how Rav Soloveitchik answered the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. There is a din in the Chumash, and it's quoted by the Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin, that Hayrav Divrei Navi is Chai Misa B'day Shammai. Let's say Navi comes and he tells me, I should invest all of my money today in the Long Island Railroad. Does that help? I don't know. Is that open for investment? I should invest in whatever, Pepsi Cola. Tells me I should invest in a certain stock. He had the nevuah from the Rebbeinu Shlom that I should do that. I tell him to go fly kite. That's a very bad advice. He says, it doesn't matter. Bad or good. That's the nevuah. You got to do it. So if I don't listen to the Navi, even if the Navi tells me to do an Aveira, the Navi tells me, beat me up. I say, how can I beat the other? He says, he got the nevuah that I should beat him up. The Pasuk in Navi. So the Navi didn't want to beat up the other one, so he was Chai Misim De Shammai. He was told that he has to do whatever the Navi tells you, you have to do, even if it happens to be an Avera. So the Minchas Chinuch has bothered with Akash and knew Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Navi. So Moshe Rabbeinu told us, we should put on tefillin every day, and we should say Kriyat Shema every day, and we should eat matzah and maror. And perform all the mitzvahs atar and listen to Tkiyah Shevsa. Whoever doesn't do any one of the Taryag mitzvahs is Chai Misa V'Dei Shammai. So what do you need a small list of the 10 people of Chai Misa V'Dei Shammai? Anyone who violates any din deraisa is Misa V'Dei Shammai. All the din of deraisa were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Unless it's a din deraisa that the Chachanim and the later generations were machadish based on the Midrash Atar and the Dreshes Pem. But we have din of deraisa that we all for sure were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. So anyone who violates any din deraisa that was clearly given to Moshe Rabbeinu should be yogal divrei Navi. That's the Minhas Chinuch's kasha. Obviously he's not there. So different terutzim were suggested on this kasha. And the popular terutz today is the terutz that Rav Soloveitchik said. Years ago they wrote different terutzim. And now the last 30 years everybody says this terutz. That yogal divrei Navi means if you violate a Sivui, that's only the Taras Nevuah. What Moshe Rabbeinu said, it depends. What Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, they should take Bizas Mitzrayim, they should knock on the next door neighbor's doors, and they should ask for Matonis, Yishalu Isha Meis Rusa Klechez Vechlei Zol, Vigodin Musmolois. So whoever doesn't ask for Bizas Mitzrayim, Stakachai Misim Dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them that they should eat the mon and they shouldn't leave over for next morning, we're going to leave over Takachai Misim Dei Shamayim. That's only Hori Rashur. He wasn't told that that's a din with Taras. But all the dinim that he was told after, like tefillin, you have to sit in sukkah, you have to eat matzah, you have to eat more. All the dinim thereafter, you have to bring a korban pesach. That's a higher level than nevuah. That's not called Eval Divrei Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevi'im. So sometimes he said nevuah, plain old nevuah, like the other nevuah. Sometimes he said a nevuah that was elevated to a higher level, a level of Torah, a level of mitzvahs, that is Noeg L'doris. So that's not included in the din of Eval Divrei Navi. That's not the answer that Minchas Chinuch gives. Minchas Chinuch gives a different answer, and the Rabbi Chava gives a different answer. There are several different answers. So the Soloveitchik thought that this was the real correct answer. Yaakov Avinu was in Golus for so many years. then when he's when it's time to return back to Eretz Yisrael, so he sends a message to his brother Esau in Eretz Seir. What is he afraid of? Esau is an Eretz Seir, so what is he afraid of? He's gone to Eretz Yisrael. Let his brother stay in Eretz Seir. So the Pasha Pshat seems to be that he knew that Esau was hanging around Eretz Yisrael also. When you send a letter to a person, so sometimes, let's say the guy's on vacation. I know he's in a certain place. I know if I'll send a letter to his home, they'll forward it to him. And if I know if I'll send it to his resort place where he's on vacation, he'll also get it. So sometimes you have to send a letter. Sometimes formality requires that you have to send a letter to his home. If it's not a formal letter, so you send it to his vacation address. But if it's something formal, let's say people all over the world wanted to send letters of condolence to Mrs. Rabin. So they sent it to the government office instead of sending it to her private home. A lot of people sent it to the government office, even though they could find out what her private address is. But they thought that's more formal. So here also, Yaakov Avinu wants his brother to know that you don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. So even though Esau may have been in Eretz Yisrael, he sends the gift with the message and everything all addressed to Eretz Seir to hint to him that you don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. And he tells them, look, there was a deal on Eretz Yisrael that the one who marries a Jewish girl, the one who keeps the Taryag Mitzvahs, gets Eretz Yisrael. You marry Chixis. I went all the way in Lavan Garti. My parents sent me all the way to Lavan to marry a Jewish girl, to marry a girl from the family. So I married the girl from the family. And he says, in Lavan Garti, I kept the Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. I kept the Taryag Mitzvah. So I'm entitled to Eretz Yisrael and not you. That's how the Ramban interprets on the passage. That he really could have sent, he really could have addressed the message to Esav's address in Eretz Yisrael. He had a home in Eretz Yisrael. He had two homes. But he wanted this, he addressed the gift with the whole, everything to the address in Eretz Edom to put him in his proper place, to let him know that I'm coming back to Eretz Yisrael and I'm the rightful owner of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, we all have the right to Eretz Yisrael if it's Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. If the Jewish people taka don't observe the mitzvah, so we're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. That was the condition. If we're going to marry Shiksis, if we intermarry, we don't keep Bris Mila, we don't keep the mitzvahs out there, then we have not entitled there, it's just so. The Prima Gordon in the Sefer HaChumash says, how could he possibly keep all the Taryag mitzvahs? There are mitzvahs out there, bars. He wasn't living in there, it's just so. How could he keep Kibbut Aviyah? How could he keep Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So he's from the Turk Kaita, that's an Ishkan mitzvah. Okay, he didn't believe in the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But what about the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyah? They don't believe in that either. What about the mitzvah of Trumas, Maaseh, Shemitah, Viyah? He was living in Chutz Lo'etz the whole time for so long. How can he brag that he fulfilled all the Taryag mitzvahs? He says, I'm the one, I married the Jewish girl, and I kept the mitzvahs, and therefore I'm entitled to Eretz Yisrael, and your address is in Eretz Seir. How can he say he kept the Taryag mitzvahs? You should say, I kept some of the mitzvahs, but you can't say, I kept all the mitzvahs. So the Prima Gordon in the Sefer HaChumash, the Tevaz Goyma, suggests that in later generations it's a little easier because we say Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh. There is some, let's say the Kohanim, so they duchen once in a while. So even though we don't duchen, so based on Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh, it's considered as if we duchen. Let's say so we learn the Kohanim, some of the Kohanim don't learn. So the fact that we're learning to the Kohanim, it's considered as if they learn. Or let's say everybody does some mitzvah or another, so the whole Kol Yisrael together is in fulfillment of all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh. It's considered as if you all did. So the Prima Gordon asks, that would have been good in later generations when there are Jews all over the world. So some Jews are keeping Kibbut Aviyah, some Jews are keeping Torah, some Jews are keeping Shabbos, some Jews are keeping Kashrus. So all together, we put everybody together, we're keeping Taryag mitzvahs. But over here, this was the whole Kol Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was in Chutz Lo'etz, so there was nobody else there fulfilling any mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he asked. But Yitzchok Avinu, so he asked, how could he state that he's in fulfillment of all of the Taryag mitzvahs? So he suggests that just like the Gemara says in the end of Zvachim, that whoever learns the dinim of Korbanos is considered as if he offered the Korbanos, Meshalma forms Fasenu. So he claims that the same applies with respect to all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Whenever there's a mitzvah that one is not in a position to fulfill, he's onus. So if he learns the dinim, he did the maximum he can possibly do regarding that mitzvah. So ma'al ala v'kasav kilu, he had fulfilled that mitzvah. This is a big machloikis, achrenim, whether this is correct or not. The Chafetz Chaim in the introduction to the Sefer on Kachim, the introduction to the Asif HaZikainim, says, based on Rishonim, that it's only by Korbanos. That concept of, and the Shalom HaFanis is saying that does not apply to any other mitzvah. But several of the Achranim do say like the Prima Gordon. Several Achranim who preceded the Prima Gordon say like that, that it applies to all the other mitzvahs as well. So he claims that that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying. Lovangarti, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti, whatever mitzvahs he could keep, he did, and whatever he was unable to observe, so at least he learned the dinim, and that's considered a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. Pasuk says he was very worried. Vayirayak miyad vayetzalot. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Torah. Nima quotes Sagemara and Brachas Davdal. What was he afraid of? The Rebbeinu Shlom had promised him. He meant if he imloch ishmatich b'chaloshatelev. Why was he afraid? So the Gemara says Shema Yigrom Hachet. So Rashi quotes on Pasuk Giralov. Kotantim kolach hasodim. He's afraid. Shema Misha Hiftachtani, after you promised me, in Rachitoch, Imach, Shema Nislach Lachti Bechet. Now she quotes that from the Medrash and the Gemara, the Tartmim goes from Imach. Shema Yigram Hachet. So the Tartmim on the bottom of the page quotes that the Rebellion Mizrahi asks Akasha, there is a Gemara Shabbos Daf Nun Hei. But the Gemara says that if a Novi is told in a Vuah L'Ro'ah, so that can be overturned. Nevuah L'Ro'ah means if the people will not do tshuva. If the people do tshuva, so the punishment will not come. But a Nevuah L'Taiva will always be fulfilled. Even if the people, let's say there's a promise L'Taiva, because the person was such a tzaddik, and then after he gets the promise, then he becomes a Rasha. So the Gemara says, the Baruch Shalom is still going to fulfill the promise. So how come that's what the Rebellion Mizrahi asks on this parashas Vayishlach? Why is Yaakov Avinu so... So he says he's Tareach Liyashev Esauinyan. Rebbeinu Mizrahi has a hard time answering it, and the Tartnimo also has a discussion. Shvera, he has a very difficult answer. He says not so. Tartnimo has a very strange comment. Has a lot of strange comments. Says not so. Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan has an answer on this kasha in his sefer. The Stach Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan. Once a year, we've got to say something because it's not. This year, I think, is the 100th, but it's going to be the 100th Yortzeit. He died in Chaf Aleph Adar Tav Reish Nun Vav. It's almost 100 years that he's not here. So he has in the introduction to his Shuvas, Ein Yitzchok, introduction to the second Chelik, on the first page of the Hakdamah, he talks about this Kasha. He said, in a half a paragraph, he thinks that it's not a Kasha at all. He says, based on the Rambam in Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah, when the Rambam talks about Nevuah is Moshe Rabbeinu, Yikori Huamuna and Yisodei HaTorah, so the Rambam says, a Nevuah L'Toivah HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never reverse. Why? Because otherwise the people will think that the man is a Novi Asheker. How can you ever test the person to tell if he's a Novi Asheker or Novi Emes? So first the person has to establish himself as a Novi by demonstrating Osa Samovs. And then once he demonstrates Osa Samovs and he has the status of a Novi Mukhzov, then a Novi Mukhzov doesn't have to prove each time with another Osa Mofes. Then he tells me to buy stocks in Pepsi Cola. I have to listen to him even if he doesn't demonstrate any Osa Samovs now. What happens if later on we discover that the man was a Novi Asheker? Then his Chaim, he says, how can you ever discover that he was a Novi Asheker? The Novi can. So the Pasuk says, the Novi predicts that something is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. So the question is, but maybe the Rebbeinu Shlom changes his mind. We see the Rebbeinu Shlom changes his mind. He gives a Nevuah L'Ro'ah that in another 40 days, the city of Nineveh is going to be destroyed, and it wasn't destroyed. So just like over there, he changes his mind. So Nevuah L'Taiva, also the Rebbeinu Shlom can change his mind. So that's what the Rambam explains when he quotes this from the Gemara Shabbos Daf Nun Hei. The Rebbeinu Shlom is not going to change his mind on the Nevuah L'Taiva. On the Nevuah L'Ro'ah, he may sometimes change his mind. If the people do tshuva, he won't punish them. The Nevuah L'Taiva is not going to change his mind. Otherwise, how can you ever test? How can you ever tell whether the man is a Novi Sheker or a Novi Emes? Whatever he says, he can say later on. The Novi will farem for himself later on and said that was only on the Tanai was not fulfilled, and the Mele and the Nevuah was not fulfilled. So Nevuah is meaningless then. So Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan says, the only time we have this klal in the Gemara, in the Rambam, the Nevuah L'Taiva will never be reversed, that's only when the Nevuah was delivered l'acherim. A Novi gets a Nevuah and he tells it to me. tells me I should buy Pepsi Cola and the stock is going to go up in the next month. I buy Pepsi Cola and the stock goes down. They go out of business in the next month. So I see he's a Navi Hasheker. He delivered a Nevuah to me. But what if the Navi gets a Nevuah from the Rabbanu Shalom directly? You buy Pepsi Cola, not to deliver the Nevuah to somebody else. So then, who's going to catch the Navi that he's a Navi Hasheker? It's only when the Navi delivers the Nevuah to another person, other than himself, then the Gemara and the Rambam have this klal, and the Nevuah L'Toyv HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never reverse it, because otherwise how can you test the Navi to see if he's a Navi Amos? But if the Nevuah was for him, he's not, so there's no shal. He knows that he got a Nevuah. And then later on he buys the Pepsi Cola, and then he becomes a Rasha, the Navi becomes a Rasha, and he violates all the Averis. So then the Pepsi Cola can go out of business. What happened with Haftokha? Haftokha was on the understanding that he's going to be a Tzadi. So that's why Yankov Avinu, Yankov Avinu got the Nevuah directly from the Rabbanu Shalom. He was told directly by Kodesh Baruch. So he was petrified, he was very concerned. Shema Yigrom Hachet. Shema Yigrom Hachet. Shema Nislachlachti Bechet. The Mefarsh Machunish add on a little more, based on the Gemara, in the end of Brachas, the Gemara has a story that one of the Amoroim, who was in Eretz Yisrael, saw one of the Talmidim in the Yeshiva who was very nervous. He was petrified about a certain situation, so he said, "You must be a sinner because the pasuk says, 'Pachad b'tzion chatoin.'" In Eretz Yisrael, the only people who are afraid are the other thing. So he's not afraid about his own level of Yerushalayim. He's afraid about external sakonis. So that's what the Chacham told his Talmud, "Chatoat, you must be a sinner, because otherwise he wouldn't be afraid." So that's what the Mefarshim HaSama and the Mefarshim HaKumish say. "Vayira Yaakov Yod Vayetzalo," Yaakov was afraid. He wasn't afraid of it. He wasn't worried about his level of Yerushalayim, Shmiras, and Mitzvahs. He was afraid of Esav. Why was he afraid of Esav? Obviously, he was a sinner. He knew that he did a sin. He did a major sin. The Rabbanu Shalom had promised, he had taken a neder that he's going to make when he left Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Parshas Vayetzei. He promised he's going to give Maisik Zav. Then he promises he's going to... I'm going to make a base on Migdash. About Esau possibly killing him, so he realized that he really sinned, this lachlachti bechet, and therefore he's afraid. Maybe the haftocha will not be fulfilled. Maybe Shema Yigrom Hachet, that the haftocha should no longer apply, because it wasn't the nevuah that was delivered to him by some other navi. He had the nevuah directly. In the first parak in Sota has a sugya about gaiva, a terrible gaiva, it's all sugya vagasta. So Gemara has a machlekes amaroyim, whether a Talmud Chacham is forbidden to have any gaiva, or the out of kovet aterek should have a little bit of gaiva. The one opinion in Gemara is that he should have a little bit, he should have shminis abishminis, in order to enhance the kovet aterek. So the Vel talks about that. What is the significance of the Shminish and the Shminis? So some Gemara has a machlekes amaroyim, whether a Talmud Chacham is forbidden to have any gaiva, or the out of kovet aterek should have a little bit of gaiva. The one opinion in Gemara is that he should have a little bit. He should have Shminish and the Shminis in order to enhance the kovet aterek. So the Vel talks about that. What is the significance of the Shminish and the Shminis? So some say, an eighth, if you multiply 8 times 8 is 64, so it's 164, it means it's going to be bottle of shishim. It's going to be bottle of shishim. We should have a little guy, but it should be bottle of shishim. It means it should not be noticeable. It should not be noticeable. And they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that Shminis Shevishminis means, is referring to the 8th pasuk and the 8th sedra. You can't from the beginning, Bereishis Nech Lech Lecha Vayera, Chayisara told us, Vayetze Vayishlach, and the 8th pasuk is pasuk Yud Aleph, because it begins with pasuk Dalet. The chapters were divided by the Christians. So they have chapter Lamed Beis begins is the last three psukim in Parshas Vayetze. The Jews would never make such a cockeyed chapter breakdown. The Parshas Vayishlach begins with Pasuk Dalet. So the eighth Pasuk is Pasuk Yudalet. So that's what they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. That's the Shemitah Shevishmin. It's Kontonti Mikol HaSorim Mikol Hoem. Talmud Chacham should have that. That's clearly not the Pasuk Pshat in the Gemara. The Pasuk Pshat in the Gemara is that opinion in the Gemara holds that Talmud Chacham should have a little bit of gaiva, but he should have it under control. Not that it should be bottled to Shishin. He should have a little bit of gaiva, but he should hold it under control in order that he should command respect, that he should have covered up there. Anyway, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that he should not. The Gemara's maskan is that lo min ovel ha-miktsasim, that even a Talmud Chacham should not have the Shminish and the Shminish. It's a very big problem. The Rambam comments on the Mishnah in Ovis that says Rabbi Levitus Yishiavna Oimer Miod Miod Hevi Shval Ruach. So the Rambam in the Tirush HaMishnah from Pirkei Ovis writes, why does he say Miod Miod? He explains in all the other Midas the klal is you have to go B'derech HaMamutza. You have to go in the middle of the road, not to the extreme, not to one extreme, not to the other extreme. The Rambam claims that that's the pshat. He has midrashim like that. That's the pshat in the pasuk that says, "By Avram Avinu, he died to man Hashem. Tavis bana was based on lalechas, but derech Hashem." He said that's what it means, derech Hashem. He quotes midrashim. Derech Hashem means to go in the middle of the road, not to be an extremist, a centrist. But the Rambam says, but the Mishnah says there's an exception to the rule. Miyod miyod hevishal ruach. That's exeira de rabbanan. That if you'll allow people to follow the din deraisa of going b'derech hamamutza, everybody will fall in. Because they won't be able to gauge what the derech hamamutza is. So everybody will be a little too much of a balgaiva. So that's what Rabbi Levitus says in the Mishnah, you have to go to the extreme in the other direction, the old New York. And it still doesn't help. People read the Rambam and they hear this and they still think that they've gone to the extreme of humility. And they're very far from being in the center. That's a big problem. How does one know where the center is? That's a big problem in all of the Midas, that the Rambam says you should go b'derech hamamutza. You shouldn't be an extremist. You shouldn't be an extremist. There's Orthodox, conservative, and Reform. So Reform is extreme. And Orthodox is extreme. So be conservative. Or if you begin to say there's Reconstructionists and there's conservatives. If Reconstructionists are extreme, the conservatives are extreme. So go b'derech hamamutza, be Reform. Who are you two extremes in order to know what your mamutza is? That's always a problem. That's what the Kovner Rav gave once at Russia in Europe on Paris HaMishpacha. Must be given the Russia for 5 hours. So he printed his Russia later in Yiddish, and it's a whole booklet. It's over 100 pages in Yiddish, and the footnotes are in Hebrew. So towards the end of the book, I think they have it in the library. Somebody, Zalman, showed me they have it in the library. So towards the end of the book, he has a long footnote on this topic. You're going to go b'derech hamamutza. So b'derech hamamutza, you got to know what the two extremes are in order to know what's in the middle. See, if people can keep on changing the extremes, they come up with the wrong psak as to what the b'derech hamamutza is. Everybody thinks that they're going. Everybody who accuses everybody else of being an extremist is implying that he's the centrist. That he's going b'derech hamamutza. A lot of times, the people who claim to be in the center are the extremists. Taking the wrong extremes and making a shore between them. And Pasuk Chav Beis is a famous strange Rashi. Atavra Hamincha Al Tonav, he prepared a matana for his brother Esau. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash that when Am Yisrael comes to negotiate with the Umas Olam, you have to prepare yourself L'doron V'L'Tfilo Ula Melchama. You have to first give Shoichad, and then you have to be mispalo. You can't just rely on the goodwill of the of Esau. Goodwill is not going to be there. Rashi says over here, Vayisha Kehu, when he meets Esau, so Esau kisses him. Rashi quotes one time from the Medrash, Esau had a bad day. he wasn't acting his normal self. Normally Esav is Seiner Yankov. You can't just rely on the goodwill of the of Esav. There are many Jews who do rely on the goodwill of Esav. They don't know the ABC of psychology. The Torah tells us what the psychology is. Halacha b'yadua she'esav seiner liyankov. So you have to, the way to get around Esav is to give him matana, and you have to be mispalo. If the person is not mispalo, he's not stand the chance of getting anywhere, and he has to prepare himself for mechana as well. Those are the three things. So the pasuk Chabay says, "Vatavar mincha alpanu v'holon balay lahu b'machana." He prepared this whole gift for his brother Esav. So Rashi comments on the word alpanu. Afu shori b'kasha hitzarach l'chol zeh. He was also very angry. He was in a very miserable mood. Why he had to go through all of this? What does that mean? He was also angry. Afu shori b'kasha hitzarach l'chol zeh. He was also angry. He, in addition to whom else? Who else was angry? Esav was angry. What was Esav angry?
Still angry.
I mean, Esav was angry from years ago about another thing. Esav was angry about his things. And now Yaakov is also angry. Yeah, but they're angry about two different things. Esav is angry at his brother. He hates him. Why he stole the brachas from him. And now Yaakov is angry. Why he has to go through this? So that's Rashi's expression. He quotes from Bereshit Rabbah. He was also angry. So the Bartanura in his commentary on Rashi says you have to put a period over here. He says, Vatava mincha alpanov. In the Chumash, when you want to say that somebody got angry, they say, V'chora af Hashem, charonaf. Charonaf means that the nose gets all red. When a person gets angry, so you can tell, but sometimes you can tell by the nose that his nose turns red. Rabbi Shalom doesn't have a nose, so it's just a melitza. The Farah Hashem is a melitza. But by a human being, sometimes you can't tell by the nose that the fellow is angry. So that's what Rashi, the Bartanur says, that's what Rashi means to say. Vatava mincha alpanov, Rashi writes, Loshen af. It's a Loshen af. Afu, period. Shari b'kasaya, shari tzarech l'chalzeh. You shouldn't read the Rashi. He was also angry. Afu. Not that the word af means also. Gamhu. Gam hu, in addition to who else? So the Batanur says it doesn't mean that. It means al panav afu, means a nose. Panav means a nose, means anger. But he was shori b'kas, Yaakov Avinu was angry. It has nothing to do with anybody else being angry. On the pasuk, by yovik ish imo, Gemara in Chulin, in Pergid Anosha, the Gemara has Agarta about this story as well. So the Gemara says, Vayayovik, Rashi quotes also Loshen Ovok, Ofer, dust. They were fighting with each other and they were wrestling with each other. So the Ovok, the dust, we have paved streets, so there's never any dust. But if you have a dirt street, so people are going to fight in the street, so the dust is going to make a big cloud. So the Gemara has an expression that Helu Ovok Ad Kisei Hakovai. That the dust that they kicked up from the ground at that time reached all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. What is the significance of reaching to the Kisei HaKavod? What is that supposed to mean? So Reb Shlomo LaVilna has in the beginning of his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. This is the Binyan Shlomo. That's our wife's farm sale. You can buy it. Shlomo LaVilna was one of the Dayanim in Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. I think I mentioned in Shia, his grandson used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva, Rabbi Markelis, many years ago, when I was a Talmud in high school. His grandson had no children, he used to live in the neighborhood, so he said that his grandfather of Shlomo LaVilna corrected the Vilna Shas from memory when they set the type. So he knew Baal Peh, he knew the Gemara Baal Peh. So he corrected, he didn't look back to another Gemara. So that's why there are sometimes mistakes in the Vilna Shas that don't appear in other Masechtos, because he corrected it from memory. So he said what he thought it was supposed to say. And once in a long while, I'm going to have a mistake that only a Litvak can make, a spelling with a samach and a shin. And no Galatiana would ever make a mistake like that, because he made a mistake, he thought that it had the correct spell. Anyway, so this Rav Shlomo LaVilna was a genius, a super genius. And he writes about his brother, Rabbi Tzal Vilna, he was the genius in the family. So they're both two big geniuses. And this sefer, he quotes a lot from Rabbi Tzal Vilna, he has a lot on his own. And the first 20 pages in the sefer is all on Chumash. And the rest is all on Rechaim and on Yeridah. So on Parshas Vayishlach, he has a long essay. He wants to know what's the significance of the phrase that you're not allowed to eat ginanasha ara yoy mazeh. What is that? Tavshin nun vav. When is ara yoy mazeh? So he suggests ara yoy mazeh means ara yoy mahu, until Bias HaMashiach. After Mashiach comes, maybe you are allowed to eat ginanash. That's a wild notion. The Pashtus is that he's 100% wrong. I'll be Pashtus. But there was he wasn't the originator of this notion. We know that historically, Shabtai Tzvi, who claimed to be Mashiach, ate Kiranasha. He said, I'm here already, so you can eat Kiranasha. So obviously there was such a concept in Kabbalah writings. He quotes a little from Kabbalah, but this, the punchline, he doesn't really quote from Kabbalah sources, but there was such a concept. The Kiranasha, I think Al Pi Pashtus, it's wrong. I mean, the Rambam says it is wrong. The Rambam lists off all the Tariag mitzvahs. He says all the mitzvahs are noyeg v'yoyim avoyt. Everything is going to be noyeg l'moyes HaMashiach. If you have a mitzvah that's not noyeg l'moyes HaMashiach, we call it a hayro asho. That's what we said. One of the tirutzim the Rav Chaim gave, why the Rambam, the Tzlach, and the Minchas Chinuch, Habadah, the Kash, why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim every day? Why doesn't the Rambam count that mitzvah in the minyan mitzvah? So Rav Chaim suggested it to us, because we pask him that the l'moyes HaMashiach will not be noyeg. And we pask him, it's not marbel l'mos hamashiach. So a mitzvah that's not noeg l'mos hamashiach doesn't qualify to be counted as a mitzvah. It's only noeg as a hayrasho. It's only noeg for a few thousand years. It's not noeg l'olam v'olam. So according to the Rambam, according to the Rav Chaim said pshat in the Rambam, obviously this is not correct. But the others don't agree. The others don't agree. So that's what he has such an idea. So he quotes this passage in the Gemara in Chulin and Perikola and Perik Gidanosha, Vayayovik Ishimo, Elu Ava Gat Kisei HaKoven, means that at that time it became Ena Kisei Sholem. Rashi and Parshas Bishalach quotes from the Mechilta and from the Gemara on the Pasuk Kiyor Al Kis Ko, Mocham Lashem Ba'amolik Midor Dor. Why does it say Kis Ko? Why doesn't it say Kisei? Chav Samachal, why does it say Yud Kei Vav Kei? Why does it say Ko? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Psochim, and other sources, quite a few Midrashim. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Hakisa Shalom. The Yud Kei Vav Kei name will only be completely Mos HaMashiach. Then we're going to be pronouncing Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the Kisei is also not Shalom. The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the ruler of the whole world, but it looks as if he's not fully in control. It looks as if the Baruch Hashem is not fully in control. How does he let all the Apikorsim go wild? How does he let all the Apikorsim? It looks as if he doesn't have the power to do anything about it. We believe that it's not true. We are faced with a big problem. If we believe there's only one God who's all-powerful and all-knowing, and he controls everything, he has the ability to change things, so how does he let all these shenanigans go on? How does he allow Tzadik V'Allah, Rosh HaVetol? How does he allow all the Abu Dizore? And all the Apikursis? Why doesn't he put his foot down? Sashtar Kikasha. So that's called Ein Akisei Shalom. It appears to us as if our perception is a mistaken one. It appears as if the Ribbono Shel Olam has an incomplete throne. As if the Kisei is not Sholem. When will the Kisei be Sholem? When Amalek will be wiped out. So when did this problem begin? When did the Kisei begin to be built to Sholem? So you get the impression on Kiyar Al-Kesko, called man that Amalek is around. It began with Mohammed Amalek. So that's what the Rabbi Tzalo, Rabbi Shlomo Levilner writes, and others write the same. As well, I think Rabbi Hutna has long drushes on this also, based on Kabbalah and his drushes and Parag Yitzchak, also the same thing, that all of this began, Amalek was a descendant from Esav. All of the trouble began from the fight with the Sarash al Esav in Parshas Vayishma. Vayayovik Yishimo, Helu Ovok, Ad Kisei HaKovoy, the Ovok of that fight. So this was a case of Tzadik Viralo, that Nebuch Yaakov Avinu won the fight, but the Malach broke his leg. So that's already the beginning of Tzadik V'Allah Rosh HaVetah. It looks already now as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not fully in control of the world. So from this time there was already Helu Avok, and we're not allowed to eat Gidanasha, representative of this notion that temporarily it looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control of the world. But the Mos HaMashiach, when he will be fully in control, then we won't have to abstain from eating Gidanasha. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be clearly in control of everything. That's the suggestion that they made. That's why Shabtai Tzvi ate the Gidanosh. He wanted to demonstrate that he holds his Mashiach, so he ate Gidanosh. That was the demonstration. Then he goes into Akasha. He has a Shlomo Levilner effect Akasha. If so, So Gid Anasha should be a Dovah Sheish Lamatirim. So what does the Gemara say? That a Gid Anasha gets mixed in with other Gidim, that a Mutter, it's not bottled because it's a burial. Let the Gemara say that it's a Dovah Sheish Lamatirim. Dovah Sheish Lamatirim is also not bottled. So what do they have to give the reason a burial? Where did he get such an Ein file? It wasn't his original Ein file. Should be Dovah Sheish Lamatirim. He quotes it from the Orza, the Hagos Ashri has like that. Whatever is also because of an Ebay Dolei Pshito, a Teku, so maybe when Mashiach will come, maybe when Eliyahu and Avi will come, will say that it's Mutter. So some Rishonim, Hagos Ashri quotes from the Orza world like that. Some Rishonim say that whenever something is also because of a Teku in the Gemara, so if it gets mixed in with the Trefis, it can't be bottled because of Dovah Sheish Lamatirim. Maybe Eliyahu and Avi will come and pass from that it's Mutter. So why should you rely on Dittel Berov today? Wait till Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he may say that it's Mutter. Maybe a Dovah Sheish Lamatirim. So that's what he asks over here. So he comes. So on the assumption that all the premises are correct, I mean, you can the Pashtus is the major premise is not correct. The Pashtus is that Gid Anasha is going to be also even after Mashiach comes. I'll be Pashtus. Not like Shabsai Tzvi. Shabsai Tzvi is an apokrylus. Not like Shabsai Tzvi. Not like Abshlema Lezum. I'll be Pashtus. Rabbi Pashti can answer the kasha of Dovah Sheish Lamatirim also. Dovah Sheish Lamatirim is only not bottled if I know for sure that this thing is going to become Mutter. It may take a long time till Mashiach comes. We don't know when Mashiach has come. It may come today. It may come in another 1,000 years. If he's going to come in another 1,000 years, so this Gid Anasha is going to get rotten by the time he comes. So that's called Dovah Sheish Lamatirim. It's only called Dovah Sheish Lamatirim if it's Vadai, Shaheter Asid Lavoi. And within a reasonable amount of time that the food will not become miskalpa. But if the food may become miskalpa, so it's like the Dovah Sheish Lamatirim. So the whole kasha doesn't really get off the ground. But that's what he asked that kasha. So in order to answer the kasha, he comes up with a chiddush agad chiddush. He says, his claim that when Mashiach comes, Gid Anasha will be muta, is only the Gid Anashas of the animals that will be geshachten after Mashiach arrives. The Gid Anashas from Tavshin Nunvav will remain also. If we'll put them in the freezer, and then Mashiach comes tomorrow, so today's Gid Anasha will be also tomorrow. Tomorrow's Gid Anasha will be Mutter. Whee! So he goes into a whole, does that make sense? Today's Gid Anasha will be also, and tomorrow's Gid Anasha will be Mutter. Does that make sense? So he says, this depends on the Gemara in the first parak in Chulin, about Eivarei B'Sar Nechirashet, Nisi Sol Oretz. So he says, now as far as Emped, the Rosh is Kasha there, the Rosh Rekha Kasha in the Gemara. What did the Gemara ask? Ashayla bet Eivarei B'Sar Nechirashet, Maida Hava Havas. He says, no, Nafkamina for Gid Anasha. Nunu. He's a genius. Shlomo Levilna was clearly a genius. He has a lot of times a very short to pull them. I would assume that this is Lechadude. This whole piece is Lechadude. Quite a few Rishonim quote our Medrash. That Esav really wouldn't have had any koyach at all. It's because Yaakov Avinu keeps on referring to him with such derech eretz, Adoni Esav, 8 times. The Medrash adds up. He refers to him Adoni Esav 8 times. That's why the parasha concludes with the Eilam Malach B'Shemalchu B'Yedem, that there were 8 kings, Lefnei Malach Melech Levnei Yisrael. And what schus did Edom, did the descendants of Esav, what schus did they have 8 kings? Because Yaakov Avinu referred to him as Adoni Esav 8 times. If he would have ignored him, that's what the Medrash Rabbah says at the beginning of Vayishlach. Why did he start up? He should have forget about Esav. Ignore him. Just go back to Eretz Yisrael and take over the land. What do you have to worry about the other people, what they have to say? So the Medrash says that he did wrong. He shouldn't have been Niskak to Esav at all, and he shouldn't have been Nichna to Esav, and he shouldn't have bowed down. He bowed down 7 times, and he calls him Adoni Esav 8 times. So the Medrash says that that's why Bnei Yisrael suffered, that the Adonim had 8 malachim. It was like the PLO when they started when you read in the newspapers, when they started this whole thing that's called the peace process. So at that time the PLO said that they were bankrupt, that damage, there's nothing, and they're going to have to restructure and begin, and all the nations of the world should give them millions and billions of dollars a time. If they're bankrupt, so forget about the PLO. So they said there's no problem. So the PLO has no money, and they're bankrupt, and no one is funding them, and the Russia collapsed already. Russia used to always harass Medina Sissot. So Russia collapsed, and all the other countries, and Iran was tired of fighting their war for so long. So what's the problem? No, we have to call them Adoni Esav. We have to say, oh, Arafat, the PLO, you have to give them chizuk. So we gave them chizuk, and now they're strong. That's history repeating itself. That's what we mentioned. The Rishonim called a Medrash, and last week said that the name Esav, the gematria is Shalom. Ayin Shin Yud Vav is the same gematria as Shin Lamed Vav Mem. There's Shalom. The Medrash has a famous comment on the Pasuk. Vayikem es chelkes hasada, right before Chamishi. That Yaakov Avinu buys a plot of land in Shechem, that's where Kevi Yosef is going to be years later, that's where Kevi Yosef is. So the Medrash says, the Umasailam have complaints against the Jewish people that we're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. What is our claim that we are entitled to Eretz Yisrael? God gave us Eretz Yisrael. The Rabban Shalom, that's a Rashi quotes, the first Rashi on Chumash. The Rabban Shalom created the world and he has a right to give Eretz Yisrael to whomever he wants, and he gave us Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. So the Goyim don't believe in that. They say that we're Gazlonim. But the Medrash says there are three spots in Eretz Yisrael that for sure belong to us. There's nothing, the Goyim can't have any tainus. One is Shechem, that for sure belongs to the Jews. It says that Yaakov Avinu paid for it. One is the Maras HaMachpelah, that for sure belongs to the Jews. It says Avraham Avinu paid for it. And the other one is Yerushalayim. It says that David HaMelech paid the money to Arav Nehemus. It says the Dir Atika and Shechem and Hebron, that for sure belongs to the Jews. No. As they state the Medrash. That's also on the Pasuk. The names in the end of the Sedra are very complicated. Dishon and Dishon. Seven times, which one has the vav, which one doesn't have the vav. The Rishonim have all kinds of simonim here. There are problems, there are a lot of problems there. Timna was a man, Timna was a woman. It's a big problem. It says, Bachos Lotan Timna. So Timna was a woman. Then there's another pasuk that sounds like Timna was a man. So that's what the Rishonim say on Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayu b'nei alifas teimon oimer tzvoi begatam beknaz. Then the next passage says, "V'simna ha'isapi legish la'alifa." Simna was a woman. Simna ha'isapi legish. But there's another passage in Divrei Hayomim, I think, that says that Timna was a son of Eliphaz. So the Rishonim write that sometimes in Tanakh you have a lot of mishalim like that. Very strange thing. You have a word written in a passage in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, in all three. You have a word written, and you're supposed to interpret it as if the word were written twice. So here, a group of Rishonim say, "Vayu b'nei Alifas teiman oimer tzvoi begata maknaz soy pasuk v'simna was also a son of Alifas." And then v'simna, a female person, hoisati legish, there was another. There was a woman by the name of Tim. There was a man and there was a woman. Who was the one Hashem matzah as hayemim? Where is that part? Also shvera pasuk. In Pasuk Chav Dalet, Lamed Vav Pasuk, Eile B'nei Tzivon V'yayor V'ana, Hu Ano Hashem Matzah Sayem In Bamid Bar Bira Oso Es HaChamorim L'Tzivon Oviv. It sounds like Ano was a man. No, Hu Ano Hashem Matzah Sayem In Bira Oso L'Oviv. Sounds like he was a man. Pasuk before says it was a woman. It says Bas Ano Bas Tzivon. So why does it say Bas if he was a man? There were two people. Man, one was a man, one was a woman. Very shvet. The Sam Rishonim say, no, it was a woman. Bas Ano Bas Tzivon. The Pasuk before says it was a woman. Here, Pasuk base. Esav Lokach Esnasha Menos Kenon. Esada Bas Ilon Hachiti Vesachol Ibama Bas Ano Bas Tzivon Hachivi. Olibama was a woman. Bas Ano, the daughter of Ano, the daughter of Tzivon. She was a woman, Ano. So how come it says over here, Hu Matzon? So some of the Rishonim say, no, Ano was a woman. Why is it written, B'loshem Zachem, Pasuk Chavdala, Hu Ano Shematzes Hayemim? Because this woman got the Yerusha from her father. Usually when there are sons and daughters, so the sons get, the daughters don't get. But in a case like B'nai Slotcha, where there are no sons, then the daughters get the Yerusha. Here it says, Ve'ele B'nai Tzivon Ayov Ano. Tzivon had two children, had a son and he had a daughter. Ayov was the son and Ano was the daughter, as it says. Bas Tzivon was a daughter. But then apparently the son died. So the son died, so the B'nai Slotcha gets, so the daughters get the Yerusha. So the daughter got the Yerusha, so usually the sons get Yerusha, so we talk of her as if she were a man. So that's why we say, Hu ano Hashem Matzah, so I really should say, Hi ano Hashem Matzah, Birosah, Li'aviho. It should all be in a keva. But we write of her as if she were a man, because she got the Yerusha. That's what some Rishon, the Cheskuni, writes like that. When the Cheskuni writes it, B'yodua, then half of the Bali Atos to say like that. You check all of the Rishonim, they all chew the same tobacco. They all say the same. They must be quoting Midrashim or something. All these wild ideas that they have on Bereshis, they all have traditions from some old Midrashim. If they quote such a thing like that from the Vilna Gaon, such a strange comment that says, Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. What do you say halayla hazeh? Halayla ends off with commentation. Shri halayla hazos. Safani kasha. The Vel doesn't understand the kasha. The word Laila is Lashon Zohar. Usually Kametzei is in a cave. Once in a while Kametzei is a Zohar. So the word Laila is always Lashon Zohar. But that's what they call it. The Vilna Goyen supposedly asked that kasha. So he gave the teretz that since women are mechuyev and matzah lo pesach, even though it's a mitzvah sesach hazman groma, they see that we're treating the kevah like a Zohar, but that's why we call it halayla hazeh. Sounds wild, isn't it? The same as the Rishonim said over here. The pasuk refers to a woman as a man because she got a Yerusha, which is usually only reserved for men. As they state, Rishonim have a lot of strange things on the names here.
Is that the same as Mahatma
Zohar? Are they mentioned Balashan Zohar? In the Chumash? Yeah? I don't know. I don't know, could be the Rishonim have it there too? I don't know. Bas Mei Zahav, at the end of the Sedra, one of the people was named Bas Mei Zahav. Who's Mei Zahav? Mahu Zahav. What is gold? Asher Haya, he was such a wealthy person. Ein Zahav Kosher, the end of Leklum. So that's why the father's name was Mei Zahav, means Ma Zahav. What is gold? What is gold? He used to call the father, what is gold? He was so wealthy, gold didn't mean anything. There's such a pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech, no? It says that Shlomo HaMelech was so wealthy, how does it say? Bimei Shlomo, the kesef was nachshav l'meuma. The kesef was worthless. I forgot already that pasuk. A pasuk like that in Malacha. The Marshal quotes that pasuk in connection with Rashi. Rashi's name was Rishlema, Rishlema Yitzchak. There's a machlek zav yechen reish lokish in the Gemara in Bav Metzia, where the Dvartara moist kindness are not. So, Rav Yechon holds that Dvartara moist kindness, Reish Lakish says no. And Rashi, strange of all, Rashi passes like Reish Lakish. Tosis says all Lama Shas. Rashi passes Tosis in Kiddushin, and Tosis in Chorus, and Tosis in Bob Metzia. That Rashi seems to pass him like Reish Lakish, that Dvartara Meshicha kindness, because Rava says, Kro Masnita Messiah Leila Reish Lakish. So the Masha, and Taisus disagrees with Rashi. Taisus says, no, we always pass like Rabbi Yechon, except for three cases. This is not one of the three exceptions to the rule, so the Jinn should be like Rabbi Yechon. So the Mashal and the Yamsha Shlomo, I think, has that Malik. So he says, Rashi is Shlomo. Says, if you may Shlomo, ain't Kesef Nechshav L'mur. So the money is not kind of anything. It's like this Rashi says, that Mei Zohav, Ma Zohav, gold didn't mean anything. Other Rishonim say differently, that Mei Zohav means that he lived on a river where they used to find gold in the water of the river. That's why it's called Mei Zohav, the waters of gold. But Rashi does not say that. Rashi says Mei Zohav is Ma Zohav. The Prima Gordim has a comment on the pasuk in Hachira. Mechamas achicha yankif techascha busha. Mechom. How does it say? Mechomas. Mechomas achicha yankif techascha busha. That Esav should be embarrassed for robbing his brother Yaakov. What did he rob from his brother Yankov? The Prima Gordim interprets that the pasuk is referring to the fact that Esav sent his son Eliphaz, bring all the money from Yaakov. That was in order to fulfill the supposed kibud av of killing Yaakov, ani choshe kemeis. And by Bnei Noach, you don't say Ein Shalich Advaver. Klal and Gemara, Ein Shalich Advaver is only by Yisrael. By Bnei Noach, it doesn't apply. So the pasuk says in the Haftarah that Esav is going to be held responsible for the chomos, for the robbery of that Eliphaz took all the money away from Yaakov. It's an interesting chiddush. Is that so? That Ein Shalich Advaver doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. It's a great chiddush. Very schwer parsha. Okay.